Summer Game Fest has been this week, and there were a lot of announcements during this not E3 week. Plus, the Switch 2 will get replaceable batteries in Europe. Tonight is June 7th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Is my audio working tonight? Is it working now? What's hogwash is like being online for like 10 minutes the other night and then waiting 10 minutes to tell me, by the way, the audio's not on for the past 10 minutes. We just didn't want to tell you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a 6-7 edition. Yeah, I went there. It's June 7th of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, welcome. Thank you so much for spending a Sunday evening with us here on the good old twitch.televisions. This is a podcast, though. We do try to tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at that Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I wasn't here last week. I was at a concert. I got to see Weird Al again. It was great. It was a lot of fun. And now I am back, and we're back to talk video games. But this is a podcast. You can join us on our Discord server as well, vognetwork.com/discord, to talk back, send us things that you may want us to look at, or things you want to talk about, or talk back about things just talk about things that we talked about on previous episodes. One of the things that was shared on our Discord, and I wanted to share this on here on the show, it was a video, and it's from the new Lego Batman game. And I believe this was SSJ on our mat that shared this with us. It's actually Cable Sasser on Blue Sky who works at Panic.com. He ran into this Easter egg, and this is actually a really, really cool Easter egg that is in Lego Batman. So when Batman goes and he needs to like hack into this computer or whatever, the screen looks like an old Commodore 64. And it loads into in the game Bat Basic, and it shows Bat Basic version 9.89 or something like that. And it was Mike Deft that shared it, not SJ and Matt. So the other M word in our chat on our Discord. But it showed two screens. It flipped between two screens. Each one stayed on for about 1 second. So enough for you to like capture the video or whatever. And it was actually about, you know, 20 lines of basic programming. And it looked like Commodore 64 Basic. And it was pokes and peaks, and it looked legit. And so this person on Blue Sky went to a Commodore 64 emulator and typed in the program from the screenshots that he put in. And lo and behold, when you run the program, it actually creates the Batman logo and bounces it around the screen. So it is actually a working Commodore 64 Basic program that you can type in Vice, or if you have an actual Commodore 64 or Commodore 64 Ultimate, and you can get this little Batman, Lego Batman program. And one of the things that was really interesting about it is because, you know, sometimes a lot of people will make fun of like the younger generation for not understanding old tech. And I don't get that, because when I was, a kid in the 80s, I didn't understand 1950s tech that nobody had to understand anymore. So I'm not going to shame that. But one of the comments on here was, I wonder if it actually does that. It was like, you know, and it was kind of interesting, you know, and somebody had to be like, no, it actually does that. They're like, oh, that's so cool. But like, they didn't actually believe that a basic program that was that small could generate a Batman logo, the Batman logo, and bounce it around the screen. Because that's not what modern computer users are used to. And I thought that was kind of an interesting response to this. I thought that was interesting, but it's exposing the younger generation to some of this stuff as well. Or if they look at it, they're like, oh, that's gibberish, just like in the Matrix. You know, when you see the Matrix, the stuff falling, that is gibberish. But it is actually a real program that actually does work. Yeah. So one of the comments here, I wonder if it actually makes it animated like that. And yes, it does. And other people have typed in the program and verified it. So this is not just that one social media post. So I thought that was cool. But let's not talk about the past so much. This is a week where we looked at the future of gaming, and things are still crap in the game industry. Things are still happening that are not great in the gaming industry. And the gaming industry is not great right now. The mood and the atmosphere in the greater gaming industry is not. It's not going well, but there are some really great games still being made and still being put out, and hopefully those teams that put out these games, that worked on these games, will get justly compensated for it and not lose their jobs once these come out. So let's talk about the actual games that we as consumers that are not actually in the video game industry are going to be playing. And there are three specific showcases, press conferences, if you will, which, you know, we haven't used that term in a long time. But the showcases about the games that are coming up, because this is traditionally the week that would have been E3, the old video game trade show that consumers demanded entry into. They got entry into it, and then E3 died. I believe there's a correlation there, but most people don't. So, the first one I want to talk about, now I'm only going to talk about some highlights. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I don't have the time to do that. I don't really have the desire to do that. I am not a big person in the horror, survival horror genre, so I'm not going to talk about Resident Evil or any of the other horror stuff, except there's one exception. And it's more because I'm sad about it. But I understand that the easiest emotion to evoke in a human is fear. That is absolutely 100% the easiest emotion. It's hard to evoke joy. It's hard to evoke laughter. Fear is easy. And that is why you see a lot of horror games. You see a lot of, like, especially in VR, a lot of the VR stuff is designed to scare you. It's to give you a thrill because, like I said, fear is the easiest emotion. And so I do stay away from most horror stuff. You know, I don't watch movies like Zemek 11 asked, you don't even like werewolf movies. I watched Teen Wolf as a kid, but like I don't go for like, you know, I even though I played a lot of Vampire the Masquerade in terms of a tabletop RPG. I didn't go see any of the movies that were based on, you know, that mythos, even if they weren't specifically World of Darkness themed. But like, you know, I didn't go really see the Underworld movies or any of those other stuff. So I personally don't care about those. So it's like I don't care for survival horror and I don't care about first person shooters. So the list of stuff that was announced this week that I care about is actually pretty small. So that's the side we're going to talk about here. There are plenty of other podcasts out there. There's plenty of other communities. You can even go on our Discord and talk about that stuff, and I will just abstain from the conversation and y'all can have that discussion. Let's talk about what happened, what I wanted to talk about. And if you want to, you know, mention something in chat, that's why we have the chat room as well. So the Sony State of Play was first, and there were two things I actually kind of wanted to highlight on here. First was actually, let's talk about a little bit about the past. I did not expect to see this hitting the Classic Collection on PlayStation 5, but one of my favorite PlayStation 2 games is a music game called Guitaru Man. And Guitaru Man is actually becoming backwards compatible on the PS5. It is, they show it as part in being included in the Classics catalog, which means you need a PlayStation Plus premium subscription, the expensive PlayStation Plus experience, to get that. But all the other ones, you're able to like pay like $8 and you can download it. So you don't need that subscription to get a lot of these PS2 classics. You can actually like buy them for $8 a la carte. They don't actually like advertise that because they want you to buy their subscription service. So they're like, it's in the Classics catalog, but you can absolutely go and I believe you can go on the store and I believe it's like $7 or $8 or something like that. So Guitaru Man is coming finally to PlayStation 5. You can finally play it for the first time since the PS2 era, because I don't even think it came on the PS3 unless you had to have the disc and you've had a backwards compatible PS3, it would work. But I don't think it actually launched as like on the PS3 stuff. it's going to be interesting to see how it plays in modern TVs and stuff, because obviously rhythm games back then, it was all about input timing, and we didn't have that worry with CRT TVs. But it was now that we have input lag and input delay, and it is just basically an emulation of the PS2 game, how are they going to compensate for that? That's kind of the thing that I'm interested to see, because there is delay. Even on a PS5 emulation, there is still a little more delay than you would have on a CRT. So it's not easy, but it is that you'll probably like play it. If you play rhythm games and you never played it, you'll be like, oh, this is just like these games that I played, you know, but they got that from Guitar Man. If you've played the PC game Old School Musical, a lot of it is reminiscent of how Guitar Man played. So that was in the Sony State of Play. And then the only other game I was going to talk about from the Sony State of Play is the last one they showed, God of War Lafay. And I actually showed this one to my wife because she actually liked watching the God of War games. They were very pretty. When I played the God of War 2018, she would actually sit and watch. It was one of the few games she would actually sit and watch me play. We were talking about it, and I was like, yeah, this is Goddess of War. And because God of War Lafay, instead of being Greek mythology, like what the God of War series typically has been when you've been following Kratos, is following Fae going into, I don't know all the stuff, but it's very Chinese mythology is what I saw. And I think somebody said it's like it's all the other mythologies as well, because it's kind of the afterlife. And so we have Bomb of Cube, and I actually liked what I saw. Like, they showed a 20-minute, basically the first 20 minutes of the game. Or pretty much, it seemed. And you get to meet Fae. You get to meet the antagonist. Tiger Claw says Norse mythology. So I think it's actually like the afterlife of the gods. So I think it's all the other mythologies that aren't the Greek mythology that Kratos comes from. It has the comedic sidekick character, which I thought was hilarious when I learned that when they did the performance acting, they actually had Jack Quaid in a cube for blocking, so they knew. Because the way they do these, I had the very fortunate pleasure of running a Q&A panel with Christopher Judge, who is the performance actor for Kratos, as well as for Stargate, and RIP Stargate for right now. Sad to hear what happened. Sad to hear what happened with Amazon, and hopefully Michael Shanks gets his wish on that. But anyway, that's an OLR2DX topic right there. But I got to talk to him, and they actually do. This is not a voice acting session that they do with the God of War game specifically. It is performance capture, and they are all in the room at the same time. So one of the questions that was asked at Dragon Con last year when I was moderating the Chris Judge panel is, how was it when Kratos had to carry Atreus, his kid, away? And Chris Judge was like, I was actually carrying Atreus, because the performance actor for Atreus was in the same room with the mocap suit, and Christopher Judge was literally carrying that actor. So having Jack Quaid, who I know from Star Trek Lower Decks, but I know is in a bunch of other things, and people are like, he's a Nepo baby or whatever. But he's great in Lower Decks, which is purely voice acting as Boimler. And they actually show that he's like in a cube, and it's a good comic relief, because, you know, games are supposed to be fun, okay? Or I like games that are fun. Not all games are supposed to be fun. Let's put it that way, because I don't want to get in trouble with the people who like the serious games and the ones that tackle deep things. And I've even talked about that a couple weeks ago, so I realized I just said. But I enjoy a game like God of War that is also, that's fun and, you know, has a little bit of lightheartedness in it. And I know a lot of people don't like that. I am okay with having a little bit of fun in my games that are not really, you know, supposed to be quote unquote serious, tackle serious subjects, or, you know, things like that. And I am looking forward to learning more about Faye's story. We don't know that much about Faye. So I was really looking forward to that. I liked what I saw. My wife liked what she saw. We liked the fact that the armor was actual real armor that Faye put on. It wasn't video game woman armor, which leaves a lot unprotected. It's actual armor. And that she kicks ass like Kratos does. So, yeah. And she wants to get back to Kratos. So I was very excited about that. And so I will absolutely be checking that out. Obviously, we talked about last week, it's not going to come to PC like the other God of Wars did. They're going to be PS5 exclusive. So I'm glad I have a PS5. Now, they keep showing all the stuff they show was on PS5 Pro, which I don't have. So I'm already behind, but I don't need a PS5 Pro. Questbush says, I didn't mind what I saw in God of War LaFay, but I don't want it over the top either. Not every sidekick can be like Mark Hamill's character from Darksiders. And I get that, but I didn't see it completely over the top. Like, I didn't, like, Frank, which, by the way, is the name of the cube, Frank, apparently is spelled P-H-R-A-N-Q-U-E, but it's Frank. Does have, like, even had serious moments in that 20 minutes. Like, it wasn't all comedic. It was, you know, yeah, he's a cube. Why is he a cube? Maybe he's not supposed to be a cube. I don't know. We should have to find out. They don't need to spell it out before the game comes out, even though I know some people would love that. So anyway, that's really the only things that I wanted to talk about from the Sony State of Play. Let's go. And also, there's a sword that has a ribbon, and the ribbon is also voice acted. Performance acted. I don't know how they performance acted that one. I didn't get to see a picture of that. But the sword is not alive. The ribbon attached to the sword is alive. That's a very important distinction, apparently. But on Friday was the Summer Game Fest. Whole weekend is Summer Game Fest, but this is the actual Summer Game Fest presentation. It is the new entry into the Keelyverse. With 2 hours, we actually co-streamed it. We were an official co-stream here at the Voice Geeks Network. Rob Roberts made his triumphant return to content creation after taking about 6 months off. And we talked over the presentation, the 2 hours of presentation. So a couple things I wanted to highlight from this. Here's what the stuff, and ZenMonkey11 actually asked, I missed the State of Play. I might want to watch it. Did it feel like something new, or are we in a new era of gaming? They have not announced like new hardware or the PS6 or anything. To me, it didn't feel like it was a new era. It was just, these are the products that are coming out. Like, it's not, we're not in like that groundbreaking transformational period right now where, you know, there's a lot of new stuff coming out. It is like, here's another zombie game. Here's another, you know, here's another survival game. Here's another game with aliens. Here's this. And then here's like this one, like little cutesy thing. And then here's another, you know, game that's like that. Yeah. And that's going to be my answer. If you ask ZenMonkey11, if you ask that question of all three things that I'm highlighting here, it's going to be the same. Like, it's going to be like, we're just seeing new games. We're just seeing the new experiences that we're going to have, the new content that's coming out. So the main Summer Game Fest, the main thing, this was very much all quote unquote third parties. You didn't really have any Sony stuff. You didn't have any Microsoft stuff because they had their own thing. Nintendo did have like two sizzle reels of third party titles, but nothing first party. Apparently, there's a rumor that there's a Nintendo Direct this coming week. I don't know how real that is. But because there's always a rumor that there's going to be a Nintendo Direct the next week, and it turns out to be true like five times a year. So in Summer Game Fest, the main one, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about. The first one is me not knowing much about the past of the gaming industry, because unfortunately the gaming industry is so huge now. There's so many games, so many creators. I don't follow everything specifically, but I want to talk a little bit about 1666 Amsterdam. So 1666 Amsterdam is a new game from a French independent developer. And trust me, there's a punchline to this, and that's why I'm just leaving it at that. And it was, you know, Clair Obscur Expedition 33 came out of that era, same kind of deal. And this is a game about witches. And they showed like this witch combat and stuff. And I was like, oh, and they're like, hey, and the prologue demo is out on Steam right now. So I went to it, and I was like, you know what? I got my Steam controller. Let me get this prologue demo on Steam and let me try it out. And the prologue demo, by the way, is nothing like the trailer that we saw at Summer Game Fest. It is the game. It is the same game, but it is nothing like the cool witch combat that we saw. What it is it basically drops you directly, like, you walk forward and there's some narrative element. They do say it is a narrative prologue demo, but a lot of people skip over that and be like, just download, give it to me. You walk forward as the witch. You get to pick a cat. So they showed a lot of cats. You get to pick a cat, and I am assuming that the cat you pick will affect your gameplay, because it looked like this one's a fighter, this one's got intelligence, this one's, you know. So you pick a cat, and then you jump to the present day. Or not really, yeah, you jump to the present day. And so you're this woman, you're this girl looking for information about her father, and he's like, oh, go find a book on my bookshelf. We're here in a library. And so you have to go, like, fetch things around the library. Which then takes you to, which then you have, like, this sequence from 1999, where you're walking through and you're learning more backstory, and then things happen, and then you become a cat. And then you run around and jump around as a cat, and then it ends. No combat whatsoever. And I'm sitting here being like, wow, it's like, you know, the present looking into the past. This seems a lot like Assassin's Creed. And that's, you know, because that's kind of the thing that Assassin's Creed was known for. They are removing the present day element out of Assassin's Creed with a lot of the revivals that they're doing. They're actually removing those sequences entirely. And so I don't know how much that's going to stay. And I'm like, this feels a lot like Assassin's Creed. And it turns out, because I didn't know anything about this until reading it, it's Patrice Desilets. I don't know how to pronounce it because I never learned French. But he's the creator of Assassin's Creed. He started this game, making this game, 1666 Amsterdam, at Ubisoft 10 years ago, left Ubisoft, bought the rights. So that's why it feels like the same kind of motif as Assassin's Creed, is because it literally is the creator of Assassin's Creed making this game. And this was a Ubisoft title, and he purchased it, and he is making it himself. So 1666 Amsterdam, there is a prologue demo, but if you're looking to see how the actual game plays, you're going to be very disappointed. It is definitely a walking simulator. That's what it is, which I'm guessing that's what the first chapter of the game is. It's a walking simulator, and then chapter two or whatever, the next part, that's when you actually learn to have powers, because it cuts off right before you probably would be a witch with powers in Amsterdam in 1666. So keep that in mind. The prologue demo is out on Steam right now. Questbuster brings up a good point here. And attaching NPCs to your hip while following them to a destination is certainly a choice. That is one of the things that was really interesting about that. So instead, when you needed to go somewhere, you know, like in the beginning, like the professor, like, let's go to my desk. And then he just stands there. And as you walk, the NPC walks behind you. Whereas in other games, like, you know, the Like a Dragon series, if you need to follow someone, you hold down a button and they walk and you follow them. And I think, like, Red Dead Redemption does the same thing, things like that. But this, like, you have to, like, learn where the desk is. You got to find it. And even if you're going the wrong way, the NPC will just go there with you. Go the wrong way with you. And there was actually another sequence where, like, two people were walking together arm in arm, and you're controlling them, and they will just go wherever you go. So it was kind of interesting. So let's talk about RGG Studio, Ryuga Gotoku, which is Like a Dragon in Japanese. They make the Like a Dragon games. And the first one I wanted to talk about is a game that I was interested in, and now I'm kind of trying to figure out how interested I should be. Stranger Than Heaven, which is a new game. It's not really in the Like a Dragon series. I think it's in the same world. But they've had trailers before, and they've got, like, this all-star cast of Japanese legends and Snoop Dogg in American legends. And then the big reveal at the very end is a new character comes in, played by Tupac, who was shot many, many decades ago. And then they brought Snoop Dogg out on stage, and they talked, you know, Jeff Keighley talked to Snoop Dogg, and they basically said that we are working with the Tupac estate on his likeness, and, you know, they basically left it at that. And one thing to know, because when we did, we were, Rob and I were reacting, we're like, oh, well, I mean, if Tupac's family is okay with it, then, you know, hopefully, you know, they do it right. Then I learned, because I am not in the hip-hop scene, I don't know these things. Tupac's estate is not his family. In fact, Tupac's sister is currently suing the music studio executive who is currently the executor of Tupac's estate for control of the estate. It is not the family. Tupac's mother had the estate, died suddenly, and this music studio exec came in like right before the death or something and rewrote her will, so he got the Tupac estate instead of Tupac's sister. So, Pop Culture says, this sounds like the same hot mess as Stan Lee, and that is kind of what I believe. So Tupac's family, surviving family members, are actually not involved with this right now. It is Tupac's estate, which is this music studio executive who got control of Tupac's estate when Tupac's mother passed away just a couple years ago. That being said, so there's that. So period. I don't have much more that I can share on that. That being said, apparently, Tupac has a whole lot of recordings of his voice. And I'm not saying that, you know, this for an AI thing, but it is very possible that they could have basically found recordings. He's apparently like one of the most recorded humans in history. He recorded so much stuff of his own voice that maybe they were able to make dialogue literally out of those recordings that fit. And that is what they're using. So it is actually Tupac's voice saying the lines. He just said them 30 years ago, and they are putting them in. We don't know. They are going to share more information at a future date. But they say that Tupac's estate is fully on board, but that does not mean Tupac's family is all on board, because Tupac's family do not control Tupac's estate. S. Jared Matt says, I do feel like Snoop Dogg wouldn't have been associated with it if they weren't going to do Tupac justice, since they were close. But that doesn't mean that Snoop Dogg and Tupac's family are on the same page on what would do Tupac justice. I don't know. I don't know any of them. But that is the facts out there. I'm now kind of torn on Stranger Than Heaven. I kind of always was. I wanted to, you know... I don't play a lot of the side games in the Like a Dragon series, and really, like, my favorite Like a Dragon games are the turn-based ones in the Ichiban Saga. I don't even play that much of the, like, I still, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii finally hit Game Pass. I did play, like, the first two chapters, but I didn't really go back to it. It's not because I don't like Majima, it's not because I don't like the characters, it's not because I don't like the tone. I just, you know, the brawler games don't speak to me all that much, and that's why I didn't get into the series until... Like a Dragon, Yakuza Like a Dragon came out when the Xbox Series X came out. RGG Studio is also making the Virtua Fighter Crossroads, which is basically their take on the Virtua Fighter franchise. And I think Rob and I were like, well, of all of the things to bring back from Sega's past, why Virtua Fighter? And I'm like, well, I mean, the FGC is huge. You know, they want to get it back into Evo. You know, but then, you know, watching it and seeing it was RGG Studio, I actually don't know from the trailer if it is like a fighting game or if it is actually a beat 'em up brawler in the Virtua Fighter universe instead of the Like a Dragon stuff. So that I thought was interesting because it's another thing RGG Studio is doing. Going back to that, Immortal King says, I didn't realize Snoop was part of Tupac's estate. I'm not insinuating he's part of Tupac's estate. Snoop Dogg was a very close friend to Tupac and is very protective of what does Tupac justice. But like I said, what Snoop thinks and what Tupac's family thinks might be different. And I don't, and maybe Snoop does agree with what the current person who is running Tupac's estate is doing. But I don't know. He didn't talk that much about it. In fact, they kind of like just talked about it just for a little bit. And Snoop was kind of like very, you know, he was very rehearsed in what he was saying. And the things about Tupac, I think, were coming out of the person from RGG and not necessarily Snoop. So anyway, Questbuster says, Virtual Fighter Crossroads, going back to this, looks like a treat for fighting fans. The story mode could be like World Tour mode from Street Fighter VI, only much more extensive. And then Final Fantasy VII Revelation was also announced at the very end of Summer Game Fest. That was kind of the big announcement there. And kind of finishing up the story and all that stuff. And that's when Rob and I talked about, I dropped Rebirth. I actually dropped Rebirth at like one of the worst times, because I actually remember exactly what I was doing when I dropped Rebirth. And I got overwhelmed with the Ubisoftification of it, where you have like the map and you've got to clear all these things, and you actually had to do that to advance the story. And I'm like, I just want to get to the next beat of the story, which is why I did finish Remake, which is the first one. Rebirth is the second one. But I finally just got tired of it. I was in a, and I'm not, I can't give story spoilers because I don't really know, but I'm literally in the middle of a dungeon with, I believe, Barrett and Red 13. And I actually think like the boss is up next, and that's where I dropped it. So I'm like, I don't remember how to play anymore. And I am like, if I continue my save file from where I left off, it's at a boss fight. And which is like the real worst time to stop. But I think like I had to stop for something else, and then I just literally never picked it back up. So I'm like in the middle of a dungeon, and that's when I stopped. So, and Mike Def says, if you didn't like Rebirth that much, I think Revelations is not going to be up your alley, considering it's even more open world. And, you know, like I said, Rebirth, like I was into the story part of it, but, you know. And so I'll need to figure out what to do. That's a me problem. That is not a Square Enix problem. That is the game they wanted to make, and they made it. So good for them. So that was the Summer Game Fest, at least the stuff that I wanted to talk about. There was 2 hours worth of stuff in it, and I don't remember a lot of it. A lot more stuff coming out of China. The Chinese developers have been really ramping up things between Crimson Desert and Winds. What's the one with all the W's in it? I can't remember. Winds Left Behind or something. I don't know. But, you know, between that and there's like a new Wukong. Where Winds Meet. I was close. Wind and two W's were in it. Where Winds Meet. There's, you know, a lot of that stuff that was in there. And it was interesting. And so you can kind of jump around. So today I skipped around this. I did not watch this all the way through. It was the Xbox showcase, where Microsoft was showing off what they were doing for the future. We got to see Asha Parma. We got to see Matt Booty. We didn't, you know, no Phil Spencer or Sarah Bond anymore. They're gone. And they were showing about, like, this is the future of Xbox. This is the 25th anniversary of Xbox and how they're going to go forward. They talked a lot about the Xbox console exclusives, where they're going back to that on some things. But in their trailers, if it was coming to PS5, you saw the PS5 logo. You saw the Switch 2 logo, where Sony, when they do trailers that are coming to other consoles, they rip out all those. So you can only see the PS5 logo. It does not say it's coming to Xbox or anything like that. So Xbox actually still acknowledges the PS5 exists, even on like any third-party stuff that they show. We've got, on the Xbox ones, I've got a couple notes here. And there was a lot of stuff that was like played on Game Pass. So they were still really pushing Game Pass and what you can get on Game Pass Ultimate. Also, it is interesting to note that everybody thinks that world premiere sound effect is a Jeff Keighley thing. It's not. It's the Xbox thing. So you got to hear that sound effect from Halo, and they got to show it a couple times. So what's interesting, if I had a nickel for every time I saw a game on that showcase that was set in Victorian times, I'd have two nickels, which is, you know, it's not a lot, but it's kind of weird. It happened twice. So there were two games set in Victorian times, which is kind of like, that's not a setting we see a lot, other than like, you know, I remember Bioshock Infinite was kind of around the same time frame. But so Magicians, The Devil's Deal, which is a first person magic. Like, what if the magic that illusionists did was actual real magic? And so that was kind of interesting to look through. And then the last one they actually showed was this Clockwork Revolution. And that was another, like, kind of steampunky shooter games. So they both look neat, and you know, that's not a time period we see a lot. You know, but I think like Clockwork Revolution does have zombie stuff, so they still got their zombie stuff in on that. And then the other two games that I wanted to really highlight from that, and notice I'm not talking about everything, because like Fifth Dream said, you know, Tifa's in Street Fighter VI now. So yeah, they revealed Tifa as a character in Street Fighter VI. Of all the Final Fantasy characters, that's the one that should be there. And she does kick ass. I played Air Guys. I blessed the ring. And Tifa and Cloud were in there. And Cloud's already in Smash Brothers. He doesn't need to be in another game like that. So there's also a new the X25 console, the green console, that they'll charge even more money for, because guess what, memory and storage is expensive. So so there was that as well. But Persona got on the Xbox showcase, and all these games are coming to Game Pass day one, so you can try that. So there is it's Persona 4 Revival, which I'm going to guess is they're going to give the same treatment to Persona 4 that Persona 3 had with Persona 3 Reload, because Persona 4 also was a PlayStation 2 game originally, and then Persona 4 Golden is a port of the PSP version. So this is going to give a proper port today, bring in some more animation and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. I did play a little bit of Persona 3 Reload because it was on Game Pass, and I'm like, yeah, it's Persona 3. And Fifth Dream says, are they changing iconic songs? I don't know. But the other game that got announced in the Persona one is Persona 6. They did tease Persona 6. They didn't tell us anything. We already knew Persona 6 was in development. But now we know the color is green. Because each Persona game has a distinctive, like, primary color, and they did tease that green would be the new color. So, like, all that came true. And it leaned into the horror aspect. It was a very thriller trailer. It was a very horror trailer, just, like, really creepy and stuff. And the reason I enjoyed the Persona series is because, even though it was dealing with horror elements, it was still lighthearted horror. Because remember, at the beginning of the show, I said I don't really do horror. I don't really do, like, the survival horror, the spooky stuff, or anything like that. That's not me. But Persona wraps it in this cheery exterior where you get to be introduced to a new style of music. Because we all know Persona 5 invented jazz. Like, there was no such thing as jazz before Persona 5 came out. This is true. But the game series that Persona came out of, because it originally was kind of a sub-game of it, was Shin Megami Tensei, which does lean more into the horror aspect and not as much in the cutesy stuff. I'm hoping that was just kind of like the hook, because there are things in Persona 5 and Persona 4 that you can look at that are absolutely horror. But they're framed in such a way that it's not like scary horror, like it's not inducing fear in you. It's more about the fear of the world. And, you know, it's creepy, but it's not, you know, jump scare type stuff. So hopefully whenever we do hear more about Persona 6, which is probably going to come out in like 2028, you know, we'll actually see that, yes, it is still like the same vibe as the previous Personas, and that they're not going into the Shin Megami Tensei vibe, which is a little more serious and a little more spooky and scary and hair stuff like that. But they didn't show that. That's not what they showed with Persona 6. But finally, good old Joker can have a rest. They have milked Persona 5 for many, many years. And S. Sharon and Matt says, we're getting a Star Trek game with Ro Laren, but it's a horror game because Bloober Team's making it. Questbush says, for Persona 6, mark a spot for 100-plus hours of playtime sometime in the far future. Yes. The only reason I was able to finish Persona 5, I got Persona 5 Royal, is because that time was the time we weren't leaving our homes for anything. Like, there was nowhere to go. And I know some people still aren't leaving their homes or very cagey about leaving their homes. But like that, it was the summer of 2020. And so like there was nothing else to do. And so that's when I put my 120 hours into Persona 5 Royal, the 100 something hours in Yakuza Like a Dragon. Yeah. So Persona 2036 is when we're going to see it. So it's going to be 2036. Thank you, Fifth Dream, for the joke there. another game that was announced. So that's basically all the stuff I was going to talk about in there. There is a lot of, you know, Gears of War E-Day was shown. That is not coming to the PS5. Originally, it was coming to the PS5. They changed their mind. It's not coming to PS5 anymore. Sony fanboys are upset, but they also applaud when Sony pulls their games and makes them exclusive. So they're just mad that Xbox is doing the same thing, but we're not going to get into that. We're going to talk about a game that I predicted was going to show up on Summer Game Fest and didn't. It showed up on the Xbox showcase, but it also didn't use the song that I thought it was going to use. Let's talk about Crazy Taxi. And Crazy Taxi World Tour was announced. It uses the original song from The Offspring. I had predicted it was going to use this new song from The Offspring that was released with a band that I got to see in concert a couple weeks ago. I didn't cancel the show for this concert, called Electric Callboy. They just released a song on Friday, like 4 hours before the thing. And the cover art is them in a yellow convertible. And Dexter Holland is actually in a cab during part of the video. So like they were leaning into the Crazy Taxi vibes. I'm like, this is going to be like they're going to release a new Crazy Taxi trailer and they're going to use this song because it's modern day Offspring. But no, they use the original. But then the Steam page came up. And Steam has an AI disclosure requirement. And that was filled in. So, Game Informer reports that Crazy Taxi World Tour was just announced at the Xbox Game Showcase, and players were quick to notice that the game's Steam page contained a generative AI disclaimer, which reads, quote, "At Sega Corporation, we utilize generative AI as a support tool for developers, aiming to provide better content to our users and enable developers to focus more on creative tasks. We have used such generative AI support tools during development of Crazy Taxi World Tour. No AI was used in reference to the performers in the game," unquote. So Game Informer reached out to Sega for confirmation and a potential response to the details on the Steam page. So Sega actually did respond. So this is Sega's response to Game Informer, quote, They reiterated what they said originally and then add a little bit more. "At Sega Corporation, generative AI is available as an optional support tool for developers, enabling our teams to focus more on creative tasks and ultimately focus on what matters most, delivering better games to our consumers. Generative AI was used to support our teams during the development of background assets for Crazy Taxi World Tour. Assets generated are still subject to review by the development team. No AI was used in reference to the performers in the game," unquote. So they're saying it was just the development of background assets in the sense where they were probably like, create me, you know, just make me a building and then I will paint it or whatever. We don't know the details. And because of Valve's rules, they have to disclose this. And there are multiple ways that generative AI is being used, especially in larger companies, that would have to be disclosed under Valve's rules. I can tell you that I am in the tech industry, not in games. And I personally try my hardest not to use generative AI. But if the thing I was working on had to have an AI disclaimer, like what Valve has, I would actually have to disclose that generative AI was used in what I was building. And here's why. When I am writing code, we send it up and we have a code review process with another person. But also, we have generative AI also looks over the code. And I don't have the power to turn that off. And I can't ignore it. That water is being drunk. And those tokens are being used. And so I would actually have to disclose at my day job that generative AI tools were used in making of it. Now, I still hand wrote all my code, but a generative AI tool looked over it. We still don't know exactly what they used it on. And the statement that they gave to Game Informer did clear up a little bit that it wasn't like, oh, we used it for workflows or we used it to write the JIRA tickets, which JIRA is a system of where you, for non-developers, if you're in the tech industry, you just winced because I said the word JIRA. But for non-developers, that is basically a whiteboarding system where the idea, the analogy would be you know, you have a task to do, and so you take a post-it note and you write on the post-it note and you stick it on a whiteboard, and then you move the tickets move the little notes around as you're like, oh, it's in the to-do area of the whiteboard. Well, I just did this. I'm going to pull this ticket down, this post-it note down, work on it, and then I'm going to move it to ready for testing or whatever. And that's a very, very high level of what Jira does. A lot of people, like especially like at my work, those tickets, those things that are in Jira, the actual like body of the tickets are now they use generative AI to assist in writing them. That way they don't have to spend all that time writing them, and then they read them. And people are like, I don't use Jira. I use this. I'm like, well, technically my day job doesn't use Jira either. We use a different tool. But Jira is kind of like the 800-pound gorilla in the space. So that's why I use Jira. But like, even I don't use Jira anymore at my day job. But what they were saying here specifically is that it was during the development of background assets. Now, which could mean, you know, background assets could be graphical, or, you know, it could be code related stuff where, you know, it's used kind of as an accelerator. I highly doubt we are going to get the answer to the question that we want of exactly what did you use it for? Because I don't think they're going to want to go through their internal development processes for whatever reason. And generative AI can be used to speed up what you're outputting. I have seen it being able to do that even for me. But the reason we're having all the backlash about generative AI is because that's not how the people with money want us to use it. They don't want generative AI to be used as a scalpel, as a tool. They want generative AI to just do the thing, and then you oversee it. And unfortunately, we've gotten to the point where people don't care. They don't want you to use it as a tool. They don't want you to use it as a scalpel where it only does like just a tiny little bit that's maybe repetitive or mundane. If you used it at all, you're dead to me. And so that's why one of the things I'm kind of been, you know, asking is should they even care? Like, you're already checked out. If you don't like the fact that Crazy Taxi World Tour, the fact that it used generative AI, you're already gone. And they could explain it to you and be like, yeah, I'm still gone. So why? So what benefit do they have of disclosing exactly how they used it? It's not going to bring people back. They're going to be like, well, you use generative AI. I don't care why. And there are a lot of people that are like that. Like, I don't care why, and I don't care how. You used it, period. I'm out. And so at that point, just use it, because guess what? This is gonna suck. The majority don't care. We are a very vocal minority in our bubble. The majority don't care. Because everybody else is like, I use ChatGPT every day. They're not gonna care that Crazy Taxi World Tour use generative AI, because they use generative AI every day. There's the information. That's I think what we're gonna say. Fifthstream says a lot of people don't know why they hate it. They just heard everyone else hate it. But apparently, if you also listen to other people, this is the future. You might as well get used to it. We're not going to have any human actors anymore, because AI can be the actors and we can get stuff quicker. And a lot of people are good with that. I did have a news story in here that I put in because I'm like, I figure I should talk about something else. So let me just go over this real quick, and then we're going to go straight into the OLR2DX. Call to see what they're going to be talking about. And actually, I do want to kind of follow up on this. And as Zemek11 wanted to back up what I was saying, I brought up AI to my friend, thinking he was going to rant about it with me, but he loves it and was making WWE videos with it. The majority don't care. And OG Happy Dude said, I've been using AI through Grammarly to help me on a project I'm working on. As long as they use it as a tool, to me, it's perfectly fine. However you put it in the final product, it's a huge turnoff. I also have to have Grammarly on at work, and I let it do some things. But we've also had that kind of technology before where it looked at your grammar. It's just it's now using an LLM. But you do need to make sure, because I do remember there was a Blue Sky post from somebody I follow who's not in the game industry who actually had Grammarly required. And she was saying something in the politics realm, but this specific statement is not politics related, but it was in that realm. And she wrote, "Don't obey in advance." So that was the phrase she wrote, "Don't obey in advance." And Grammarly said, wanted to change it to, "Remember to obey in advance." So, anyway, the last story is actually about hardware. And it's about a new version of hardware that we're going to be getting. The Verge reports that Nintendo is planning to launch versions of Switch 2 hardware in the EU that will let users easily replace the battery to meet its obligations due to new EU regulations that's set to go into effect on February 10th, 2027. Nintendo says on its website that it is, quote, implementing measures to comply with these requirements by preparing versions of products to meet the regulation, unquote. So thanks to EU regulations, gadgets with user-replaceable batteries are making a comeback, as Dominic Preyden wrote recently on The Verge. Starting with that February 2027 date, EU rules mandate that many types of gadgets, including portable game consoles, must allow users to relatively easily remove and replace their batteries. Nintendo doesn't specify what it will change with this new version of the Switch 2 to make battery replacements easier. Currently, taking out the battery in the Switch 2 is an involved multi-step process, as iFixit has made some videos about. It's also unclear if a revised model with a replaceable battery will be available in other regions. Nintendo did not respond to a request for a comment. Nintendo says on their website, quote, for current products with model numbers starting with BEE, which is used with the Switch 2, as shown in Nintendo's filings with the FCC, future compliant versions will have unique model numbers and the additional code OSM visible on the packaging, designating them as separate products for regulatory purposes, unquote. Switch 2 controllers like the Pro Controller and the Joy-Cons also carry the BEE moniker, and we don't know if those are going to have user-replaceable batteries as well. So, overarching question is more for the future stuff, because when they make like a Switch 2 OLED or a Switch 3... are they going to make two different versions of the hardware, one for the EU and one for everybody else? That would be dumb. So while we might not get a Switch 2, the current Switch 2, with a replaceable battery, I would highly believe that a Switch 2 OLED or a Switch 2 Lite or a Switch, you know, whatever the successor to the Switch 2 is, I highly believe it will have a replaceable battery even in the U.S. because it does not make sense for them to make two different versions of the hardware and design two completely different versions of the hardware just for the EU versus everywhere else in the world. They need to save money. Nintendo is not made of money as much as we like to think they are. They are not made of money. Which is why they keep having to raise their prices when the price of RAM and storage goes up, because they don't have the pull to be able to eat the cost of the updated pricings of their vendors. As Sharon Amat says, production-wise, it will make more sense every future consoles like this. Having multiple different production ways is very costly and a drain on everything. So that's something to look forward to. It's going to be in the EU. They're going to redesign the Switch 2. I don't think the regular Switch 2 we're going to see a redesign here anywhere else but the EU. But future SKUs, we will. So normally I take a music break. Not going to do that tonight. I had a good one. It was a brand new one also picked. So maybe next week you'll get to hear it. Or I try to take calls in the green room, but I am out of, out of time for the most part. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio 2DX. It's three people who talk about more than just games, because other things happen in the geek world, and we love to talk to them and hear what's going on there. So we're just waiting on Discord to connect us. Oh, here we go. There we go. See, it takes a bit. We got to be patient.
Yeah.
OLR, are you there?
I am. I had to break out the VTuber again because the hand is disagreeing with me.
Yeah, I understand. How is it? Is it better at least? Is your hand feeling a little better right now?
It's a lot better. Back at work, doing like 50%. You know, I just take a lot of breaks and read a lot.
Yeah. I'm glad you're taking yours.
Yeah, I'm doing my best. It's definitely healing. Just, you know, I tend to forget and push it a little bit and go, oh, owies. Mm-hmm. I'm not a spring chicken.
Yeah.
I'm not a chicken at all.
Nope. I'm learning that too as I get older, even though I'm still 29, but you know, mm-hmm. as I celebrate more anniversaries of my 29th birthday, I'm learning I can't do as much as I used to. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah. I get it.
Did anything this week catch your eye? I know, like, I think some Dead by Daylight stuff came out, but what from the not E3 week has caught your eye this week?
Oh, goodness. I did pay attention to a few things. Like, I watched the Saul Genesis trailer, and it actually looks like an interesting concept, but not necessarily canonical for mm-hmm. people who are totally into the canon of the series. It's going out on a limb, and I'll leave it in that respect. I watched the Veronica trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I read a little bit about Fable. Mm-hmm. There's a few games that are on my list. I didn't so much pay attention to the Xbox stuff because 90% of the time it's going to come out on Steam.
Yeah.
But Dan and I were watching the Crazy Taxi one, and he's like, because we saw it on the Xbox one, and we're like, well, is it only going to be on like Game Pass and Xbox? But thankfully we saw a Steam release and we saw the other ones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this could be the sign to get a Switch too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was, because when I watched the Saw trailer, I'm like, you know what they need to do with the Saw games, which they're not going to do, but it needs to be a Mario Party-like game just with Saw.
I have a feeling, though, that this is going to have some cooperative puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's as close as we'll get. I mean, the movies had certain ones where people had to work together to survive, or one thing or the end result was contingent on another party. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's effectively what Saw 3 was.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have feelings.
Yeah. And I have feelings to stay far away from that content, but just because it's not for me doesn't mean it's not for somebody else. So I'm glad the content exists for other people.
Different strokes and all that business, right?
Yep, exactly. Yep. Since I went a little bit long, what else are you going to be talking on Orange Lounge Radio to 2DX tonight?
Well, we are going to be getting into a little bit of an AI issue with a voice actor. Mm. We have some really good Sega news about something musical. Mm-hmm. And I got to paraphrase one of my favorite sayings that instead of, you know, be gay, do crime, it's mm-hmm. drive fast, do crime.
All right.
And just, you know, the states of stuff and some Stargate.
Yeah. And I will say, because 2 weeks ago I mentioned why I wasn't going to be here last week. And yes, Puddle's Pity Party was an amazing singer live. Yeah. Really enjoyed his set and stuff. So, and he is like, look, like he was known as Big Mike here in Atlanta. And everybody's like, oh, Big Mike's touring with Weird Al now? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask how you enjoyed the show. I had an amazing time, and we're going next month again.
Cool. Unfortunately, I was on the wrong side of, so for in terms of when Weird Al came out, but one of my friends was the one who got forked in when Weird Al was in the audience serenading everybody.
So, oh, that's awesome. So. I did once have his ankle on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm. We were on the edge. So if he had come down that aisle, he would have come up to us. But he went down the aisle on the other side. So, and also,
yeah, that's a fantastic show. Yeah, everyone should go.
Yes, and even like also like the additional backing band members, they were also really awesome because that's the thing he added. He added like and like they're like in their 20s. At least some of them are. So it's like, you know, they were born well after his, you know, his big hits and everything. But they were all amazing. And it adds a lot to the show having, you know, the actual like backing band and backing singers and stuff in there.
I want to say, it was a lady playing baritone saxophone.
Yes. There's a couple like there's saxophone. There's a trombone player. Mm-hmm. There's some
I just remembered. I remembered her because I played baritone saxophone in jazz band, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of what you know the usual person doesn't expect. And I was like, yes,
yes,
one of my people.
So yeah, the Weird Al tour just started. This was like night three or something. So he's going to be on, and that's why I was gone. But it's a great show if he does come in your area. But tonight, Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is up next. Have a great show. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Anytime. Thank you.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. Or you can join us on our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where we are throughout the week. Please join us. Join us for and tell us what you thought about some of the things. Maybe we'll be talking about a Nintendo Direct next show. I don't know. We'll see. There's always a Nintendo Direct happening next week until it actually happens. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. As we speed toward, I guess, episode 1,000, we're like less than 20 episodes away from me doing this 1,000 times, which is wild. I'm going to hit the button here. That plays the music to let us go out. Enjoy games. Try to enjoy some games. And I will see y'all next week. 6-7. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.